I'm Lexi Davis, a love embodiment coach who helps people create a love that feels like home, and I'm here to bring more romance and playfulness into the world. I'm also an international retreat host, vibe curator, and human connector. I serve people through my business, Alive to Enjoy, and this podcast, where I invite guests from around the world to sprinkle their wisdom and expand your perspective so you can create the deepest love you possibly can reach in this lifetime. I also want you to live the most joyous life, whatever that looks like to you, and I hope that this slice of the internet brings you lots of smiles and helps you keep your heart open. Thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing Heart Snuggles to be in your ears each week, and I'm so glad you're here with me. Welcome, Heart Snugglers, to another beautiful day. We're so happy you're here with us. And right now I have a beautiful friend that I met while visiting my other friend in Austin. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation because she has such a beautiful heart and so many amazing stories. So go ahead and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hannah, and I currently reside in Austin, Texas. Really excited to be on the podcast today and just to chat through anything that comes up. And I would say my biggest thing that I want to share with you all is that every day may not be good, but there is something good in every day. So just finding the light in whatever circumstance you're in.
Thank you. So beautiful and such a constant good reminder to have, because life can be really challenging.
Okay,
so the first question of the podcast is, what was the last random act of kindness someone did for you?
Someone did for me. Okay, I would say, well, it hasn't been done yet, but it's been communicated to me that one of my, I would call him a friend at this point, offered to get a place in New York for us to just explore the city and for a weekend. And so really excited about that opportunity. And yeah, definitely was not expecting it. So random act of kindness that happened maybe an hour ago.
Oh, I love that. It's so special.
Yeah.
Aw, okay. So fun. A little trip's always a good. That's always a really nice. And the next question is, what is a shameful or hard memory you have around relationships or sex?
It's a really good question. I would say the one that comes to mind the most is a date I went on a couple years ago, and I had way too much to drink, and we ended up getting together, but I didn't know that until the next morning. And so there was a lot of shame that came from that and just feeling used and not ideal. So that's probably the biggest one that comes to mind as of right now. And just sitting in that isn't fun, but also knowing that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and I've been able to heal from that experience and remove that feeling of guilt.
Yeah, I've been there before too. It's really, really uncomfortable feeling. And yeah, the self-dialogue that goes on after that, and just, you know, how trying to remain compassionate to yourself for choices that we make like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just always reminding myself, even in those types of situations, that there is a little bit of accountability at play of managing how much I'm drinking and being conscious of that. And I know that's a touchy subject to talk about, but I do think that that needs to be brought to the light of, like, we have to be consciously aware of, you know, what our limits are and how much we're drinking and who we're with, because we never know where the road might take us if we overindulge or get caught up in a sticky situation.
Definitely. I mean, I think self-accountability is the key to everything if you really want to take responsibility for your life. And I stopped drinking maybe 7 years ago now.
And it was one of the best decisions I made because I was like, this is not serving me. And it started from a health situation where, you know, I saw this applied kinesiologist and he was like sharing my liver something. And then once I stopped, I realized like how much of a crutch and numbing it was. And I was like, whoa, I don't like this. I don't like how I feel after. I don't like how dependent I am on it for social skills. And so, yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah, no, I can definitely relate to you. I used it as a crutch in the past to numb and just avoid life. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. But it's also when you are able to face all of that, that's where the true healing comes versus hiding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which our society loves to promote, hiding. Yeah. And I'd love to dive in first with your relationship with God and how this formed. And yeah.
Yeah. So when it comes to my relationship with God, I would say at an early age, I was aware of that relationship just because of growing up in the church and my family making it a priority every Sunday to go to church and Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and then on into youth group, mission trips, all the things. And I would say at the time, it was more so, this is kind of what we did. And it wasn't in my mind a true relationship with God until I was older, away from home. And I chose that for myself. And I think that's when I really grew to understand God and his power, and also how he's made a way for me in many situations in my life where I never thought that that would be possible. And I think there is a true testament to that. But until you walk in it, until you walk in faith and you see it for yourself, it's hard to believe. And I think that's okay, because as humans, we're so focused on the physical and having actual tangible evidence of what's in front of us and believing it after that. And I would say I totally get it. But when you take that step, when you take that leap of faith and you trust knowing that on the other side, it's going to happen, and then it does, it's the best feeling in the world and really does strengthen your faith in God and that relationship.
Mm, so beautifully said. And, you know, also with that too, which I would love for you to share one of your stories of those moments when life is like really tough and putting you through a situation where you wouldn't wish anyone upon. And it's like, why would God do this? You know, why? So if there is a God, why would, you know? So that with myself and I know people too is like such a big piece of it, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I have a lot of those stories, to be honest. I've lived a lot of life in my 27 years, but I would say the one that comes to mind right now is definitely when I was in college. I was in an emotionally abusive relationship, lost my grandmother. My mom was diagnosed with cancer. My brother struggled really badly with drug addiction. It was just like everything was falling apart, and I was the only building left standing in the city. And I was lost, so lost. And I was in a really dark place and honestly contemplating, like, do I even want to be here anymore? And one of my roommates noticed like how dark of a place I was in. And she was like, Hannah, I can tell that you're in a really dark, deep hole, and we got to get you out. Like, I am signing you up for therapy and you're going. And I started going to therapy, and that was a huge life changer for me because I had never done that before. I'd never gone to therapy, never talked to anyone about it, tried to just like figure it out on my own, drink the pain away, you know, people please all the time and just put everyone else above me. And there was this constant pouring into everyone else, but there was nothing left for me. And so it was exhausting. And it took a lot of time to unravel that part of myself and get to a place where I saw the light again and started to realize that this is worth living. Like, this is a life worth living. And I do have a place here. I do have a purpose here. And there is something more for me. And even though it's hard right now, even though it's sticky right now, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and just focusing on that. So I would say that definitely one that comes to mind, probably one of my first moments of really seeing God make a way for me when I didn't think there was a way out.
Yeah, it's so sad. I mean, I've had those moments, and I've lost 4 friends to suicide. And so it's a really real part of life, and having, you know, that community around you too, like you said, it's like, that is why I've prioritized community, and I help people prioritize community, because we need to support each other, and we're not meant to do it alone. You're not meant to get out of that really tough time alone. It's impossible. And that's why we need the faith, and that's why we need the physical humans as well.
Yeah, for sure. Because you're so right. We can't do it alone. And that was the other thing. I was trying to do it all alone. I was like, oh, if I just fake it until I make it, if I just put all the weight on my back, if I'm just there for everyone else, like, I'm strong. I've gotten through this before. I'll do it again. But there's only so much that you can carry on your own before it starts to get really heavy. And then you're like, this is exhausting. Like, this isn't sustainable. This isn't sustainable long term. Like, what do I do? So I had to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in college, that was such a challenging time for me too. It's so many things shifting and happening, and yeah, trying to be loved and liked, and so many.
Yeah,
and then relationships. And I love to hear a little bit more about this, the emotionally abusive relationship you're in, and why you remained in it.
A really good question. I would say at the time, I wasn't necessarily in a great place either with everything going on with my family and just a lot of moving parts. And so I think there was a little bit of an attachment there, a dependency there. Not healthy, of course, but it was better to have someone than no one. And so I think that's really what kept me there, is even though it wasn't healthy and I was constantly questioning my sanity, and like, I just didn't get it, because anything, it was like a constant tug and pull, a constant hot and cold, a constant, I love you, oh, I can't be with you. And yeah, it didn't last very long. It lasted 6 months, but it felt like 2 years. And I think just saying that out loud shows the ramifications of, you are who you surround yourself with. And you, if you do surround yourself with someone who is hot and cold, back and forth, a puppet on a string, like, you're going to feel the ramifications of that. And so I think the reason I stayed was dependency, having someone. And the reason I finally let go of him was because he kept on showing me who he was, and I finally believed him. And I think sometimes it takes more than once to see someone's true colors, to be like, oh, this is who you are. Like, it wasn't a false narrative. You weren't wearing a mask. Like, this is truly who you are. Like, I need to believe it, and I need to walk away, and I need to move on. And so, yeah, it's a little bit more of that story.
Yeah, it's so hard when we're just like needing that love and that nourishment to be held and to just receive anything we can get in those moments, you know. And it's like looking back on that part of you is like, oh, I feel you, and I wish I could tell you, you know, that being alone is actually better in this moment. But we have to go through those phases.
Yeah, for sure. And I think at the time too, like, I remember when I got the news about my grandmother, and I just cried, and he held me, and it wasn't like completely unhealthy. Like, there were a lot of good things that came from it too. And so I think at the time it was a relationship that was there for a reason, but I'm glad that it was only a season and not a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. And we'd love to hear more about your relationship journey after that.
Yeah. Relationship journey after that, I would say my longest relationship was around 3 years. So I met him after and we lived together for 1 year, met in college, and then post-college lived together. And that was a really good relationship because communication was pretty healthy. He was very loving, compassionate, always there for me. And we had a lot of similarities and things that we related on. So that was nice. And I think definitely the physical attraction was probably number one there. Like, we were both very much so attracted to each other, which made the chemistry even better. And yeah, just everything was really good. And the reason for that ending was because I just didn't love myself and I couldn't be with him anymore knowing that. I was like, I don't deserve to be someone's wife, let alone your wife. And we've been together for 3 years. So there's something that I need to work on here. And so I ended that relationship and helped him move into his own place. And then we haven't seen each other since. And it's so wild to think of that. Like, the last time I saw him, we stayed at his new place together on an air mattress. And then that morning I left, and that was that. Like, it's just wild to think about.
That's so crazy. I'm so sad too. My heart's like, oh, you know? And
yeah.
To make a choice like that because of that reasoning is, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely a curveball, something I didn't expect. Like, I was at a pool party with some girls, and one of the girls was talking about how she can't wait to get engaged. And it's so crazy because she's actually getting married this year. And I'm like, it happened for you. Like, you got engaged to him. You're getting married. Like, super exciting. But at the time, I was like, I'm not thinking of that. I don't see him proposing to me. I don't see myself getting married. And why is that? And I had to dig deeper and find the answer, the root of it all. And then once I found the root, I was like, we got to heal this because we can't be going through life, or I didn't want to choose to go through life not loving myself, because I wanted to love who I am for my values and my character traits and like my heart, not for what I looked like, not for what I did, and all these other things that, you know, quote unquote, make us lovable. It's like, that'll never be enough, at least in my mind.
Yeah, no, that's not sustainable. And you feel the full, like, we have, yeah, we're so much more than that. So anchoring into the truth of who you are and what you are is really important. And
yeah,
taking the time to dive in and realize, okay, I actually want to shift this. It's so powerful to have that kind of mindset and determination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely wasn't easy by any means. I remember, like, my first couple months living alone, like, I barely ate. Like, I lost a lot of weight. And it was just a whole new world for me because I was kind of at the bottom and needed to climb my way up this mountain and get to the top on my own. Or at the time, that's what I thought, was on my own. And I think that's another God story and just him making a way for me when I was in a place of, I don't love myself. I don't feel enough. I don't see myself as someone's wife or someone's mom. Like, I'm not worthy of that. And coming to terms with that and facing that head on isn't the most fun and exciting and sunshine rainbows type of vibe, you know? So it's been a journey for sure, but I'm happy that I'm on the other side of the mountain now.
So beautiful. That journey is really challenging, and I'm so happy that you continued to, you know, lean on God in that moment and realize, like, he's just shaping, you know, your character, and he is still guiding you even in that point of low, really challenging, and learning how to take care of yourself, because it is an important part too in relationships to not just be fully dependent on your person to do these things for you and to know that we are. It's really important to prioritize yourself. It seems like that's a common lesson that was like coming up for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was. And I think looking back on my childhood and that people-pleasing mentality, it was like, put everyone else above you and then they'll be happy, so you'll be happy. And that worked for a little bit of time, and I know how to turn on that people-pleasing mentality and get people to like me, but I don't do it in a disingenuous way anymore. It's like, I just want to be me, and if you like that version, wonderful, amazing. I'm glad that we can be friends or connect or whatever the thing may be, but I don't want to just have people like me to like me. Like, that doesn't fulfill me at all. And it actually is exhausting. And I think I needed to learn that time and time again of finding the balance of giving and taking and the value in, well, giving and receiving, I would say, is probably a better way to phrase it. But finding that value in relationships and connection versus constantly being in a place of giving, because then you're always pouring from an empty cup. And like we talked about, that isn't sustainable. So finding the balance in that and pouring back into my own cup so that I can, you know, give my fullest, highest self to whoever comes across my path, whether it be close friends, family, someone new in my life. I think the importance of learning how to take care of yourself and love yourself fully allows you to really give yourself fully to someone else and not feel depleted, because you also have discernment and you know how to set boundaries and you know how to communicate effectively, so the relationship's beneficial to the both of you and not just one side or the other.
Yeah, it's so hard. I was a people pleaser for so long. And yeah, same, just giving, no boundaries, just no reciprocity. And I would sit there and question, how are you not giving back to me? How are you okay with this dynamic that's happening right now? And it still wouldn't make anything, it still wouldn't change me. It's so funny. It's like, even as my awareness of it was there, it was still just so hard to realize, like, no, that's not, I get to decide that's not what I want, instead of trying to get them to realize what they're doing. Oh,
for sure. Yeah, it was that constant thought of, oh, are they going to do something for me? Is this ever going to be, you know, roles reversed? And it was that constant thought loop, but no physical evidence of that being reality. And it's like, huh. The math ain't mathing for sure. Like, something's off here. Like, what do I do? And then it was like, okay, well, maybe if I pull back my energy, then maybe, you know, they'll do something to try and, you know, come back into my life or whatever the case may be. And that would work occasionally, or it wouldn't. And I would lose those individuals from my life, because that's all they wanted me for was what I was giving to them. And then when I wasn't giving to them, it was like, oh, I don't want her anymore. Like, I'd rather, you know, find someone who's willing to just give to me all the time. And it's like, go find them. They're out there. I would rather you not do that, but we're all given the freedom of choice and I have no control over you. I only have control over myself. And so at this point, it's like, I'm going to remove myself from this dynamic because I know that serves me best and my highest self best. And I wish you well and send love and light and peace your way. And that's one thing that I've always held close to my heart, is even if someone is physically out of my life, whether they've passed away or they've been removed or we've had a falling out or whatever the case may be, I can still pray for them. I can still send them love. I can still wish them well. I can still cheer them on from afar spiritually, but not be in their world physically. And I think that's an important element that I like to carry in my back pocket of, like, it's okay to not have someone in your physical world if that's not in alignment with where you're at and where you're going for either of you. Because it's not always me needing space. Sometimes it's the other person saying, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. And you have to respect that and just do the best you can to repair if you can repair, but also be able to let go and know that everything's working out for your highest good.
Yeah, that letting go process is where a lot of people get caught and stuck and don't want to, because it's hard to release someone from your life, whether it's a friend, lover, or anyone. And so how have you practiced letting go?
I would say the biggest is the open hand concept. So it's the ability to, if there were a butterfly and a butterfly flew onto your palm, would you hold it like this or would you hold it like this? Most people would answer, well, I'm not going to hold it like this because then I'll squash the butterfly. The butterfly won't be able to fly anymore. Like, it'll be dead. Well, the same goes for the people in your life. If you allow them to come into your life freely and allow them the space to be in your energy, in your presence, in your physical world, wonderful, amazing, great. Like, that's a beautiful thing. But also, if it's your time to go, if it's your time to fly, I send you off with love and light and I wish you the best. But it's living from a place of detachment, because you're not attached to them in your physical world. You're connected, but there's a difference between connection and attachment. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned for myself is, do I like having this person in my life because I have a connection with them, an equal give or take, an equal give and receive? Or do I like having them in my life because I have an attachment to them, because I have a dependency to them? Am I more closed-fisted on them as a butterfly, or am I open hand and just introspectively being able to discern what that is for me and accept that fact? And I think what I've noticed is when you are attached to someone, it's harder because there's that dependency, that reliance of, oh, if I don't have that person, I'm not okay. And the ability to let go when there's an attachment is a lot harder and a lot stickier because you're literally attached to that person. You don't think that. So I would say, coming back full circle to answer your question, being able to let go is just being from a place of detachment and not being expectant of the outcome, but detached from the outcome, knowing that people come into my life for a reason and I'm grateful for the time that I have for them. Have with them. I'm grateful for the time I have with them, whatever timeline that looks like. And sitting in a place of gratitude versus sitting in a place of lack, because I haven't lost anything. I have myself. I have the moments and memories and relationship connection that I made with them, and I'm grateful for that. But if they decide to leave, there's probably a reason for it. Whether I know that reason or not, I can know that God's looking out for my highest good. And maybe there were things that were said behind my back that I didn't know about, and so God's removing them for a reason. Or maybe, you know, we're not in alignment anymore and we're going in two different directions. And that's okay too. I think as we get older, a lot of people move differently because we're kind of given so many opportunities, so many options, so many streets we can go down. It's like, well, eventually sometimes, you know, I'm in New York and they're in LA and that's just the name of the game. We've just gone two separate ways and it's okay.
Uncoupling or breakups do not need to be horrific and ugly, but they can be the most beautiful unwinding of a union. And you get to decide if you're going to let this heartbreak hold you back from love or open you wider to an even greater love and ability to choose yourself. And if you desire to shift this archaic way of ending relationships and instead be a leader in love, then I invite you to join my Holding Heartache Masterclass so you can remain in love, trust, and integrity with your heart. And this will be a powerful way to close out that chapter with your past lover, to somatically feel through the tough emotions and create a solid foundation of support to hold you through the process of grief and letting go. You'll get a clear, reliable, and comforting kit of resources and tools so that you never feel alone or stuck during this process. And I created this masterclass so you'll feel empowered to make it through the painful process and come out the other end anchored in truth and more rooted in love. I want to remind you that your heart isn't broken, you're being opened wider, and thus you're being able to feel more alive. So if you'd like to access the Holding Your Heartache Masterclass with me, Lexi Davis, head to the show notes and sign up.
Yeah, it's definitely a process of really being accepting the change sometimes and surrendering to it. And I would love for you to, you're open to share the story of when you let go of that really hard relationship or situation that you shared recently online in that process for you.
Yeah. So it wasn't even 2 years ago. It was about a year and a half ago. I was in a relationship with a man and he was new in my life. He actually approached me because of business. He wanted us to work together on a business perspective, and I was open to the idea, but then ended up declining and we kind of went our separate ways. And then he came back into the picture and was in town for business and wanted to go to dinner. And we just kind of hit it off and started going on dates, spending lots of time together. And then he had to travel again for business. And so it was probably like a couple weeks in and I was like, well, I'm going to go visit him. Like, I missed him. Like, I want to go see him. And I think it'd be fun to surprise him. And at the time I was off of work. I took 6 months off of work. And so just had, so I went and I was like super excited. I was like, oh, I'm going to be in a new city. Like, I'm going to see a little bit more of his world and meet some of his friends and kind of explore. So really pumped, really stoked about that. And I was probably there, I think it was going on 2 weeks, and one day we like got with a group of his friends and went out, and I started not to feel well at one of the clubs. So I was like, oh, I'm like, I want to go home. Like, I don't feel well. Something's off. Like, I don't know what it is, but I just need to go home. And so I was trying to find him in the bar that we were at, but I couldn't find him, but I was with his friends. So I was like, hey, like, I can't find him. Like, is there any way that one of you could take me home? And they were like, well, we can order you an Uber. And I was like, I don't want to go home by myself. Like, I'd rather one of you like go with me. And so one of his friends offered to walk me back, and I got back to the place, got into his house, and the friend was such a gentleman the whole time, didn't try anything, just made sure I got home safely. And then later on, when the guy that I was seeing came home, he was not happy with me at all. I was really upset that I had left him at the bar and ended up breaking down the door to his bedroom because I had locked it. I don't know why. It's this weird thing that I do whenever I've been out drinking. Like, I always lock my bedroom door because I just feel safer. And so I just did that, didn't think anything of it. So he breaks down the door and, you know, finds me and then like pulls me by my shirt and throws me out onto his balcony and locks me out there. And I was like, well, I'm not going to stay out here. Like, it's cold. Like, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not going to be sleeping out on this porch all night. So I started knocking on the door and he let me back in, and then he started beating me up, and I was like just trying to get away from him. I was like, just let me go. Just let me leave. I just need to get away from you. Can I just leave? Let me just leave. And he wouldn't let me leave. And he kept on hitting me, kept on banging me against the floor. And it didn't stop until I guess he felt I had been punished enough or whatever the logic was. And then I remember after I was obviously hurt, obviously crying, obviously so out of it. And he asked me to take a shower. And I was like, God, just please don't let me be raped after this. That's the last thing I want right now. God, just let me not, like, let that not happen. I can't even fathom the thought of being with him in that sense anymore at all. Thankfully, that didn't happen. I took a shower and then ended up going to bed with him right next to me. And it was probably like an hour into sleeping. I woke up and then started projectile vomiting for 18 hours. I think because of the concussion that he gave me, he tried to say that I was drugged. And I was like, I wasn't drugged. Like, I'm vomiting because I'm nauseous because you've been banging my head against the ground and against a wall for whoever knows how long. Like, that's why I'm vomiting. And so woke up the next morning, was able to sleep a little bit more after that whole thing. And he was still mad at me. He was still upset with me. Right as soon as my eyes opened up, he was already screaming at me again, yelling at me, calling me names. And I just had to act like I was, you know, I was in the wrong. So sorry. I even made up the story of, I know why you put me out there on the porch. It was to protect me. Like, you put me out there because you wanted to protect me, because you knew that if I was inside that you would hurt me. So you were trying to protect me because you love me. And I don't even know where these words or thoughts were coming from, because I'd never been in a situation like that. But I know that God was protecting me in that moment. So much so that I was praying. I was like, God, just let me know that I'm going to get outside safely, that I'm going to get home safely. Like, just let me know that I'm going to be okay. And it was later that day, my parents reached out and it was 5:55. And I was like, okay, angel numbers, like, God is looking out for me. Like, I'm going to be okay. And my mom reached out multiple times. My dad reached out and my mom was like, can we FaceTime you? Like, your dad just feels like something's wrong. Like, something's off. Like, can we just talk to you? And I was like, I'm sorry. Like, we're about to go to dinner, but everything's fine. Everything's good. Like, I'll talk to you guys later. Because the last thing I was going to do was bring my parents, who I love deeply, into a dynamic where they can potentially get hurt. I didn't know what situation I was in anymore. I didn't know who I was dealing with anymore, but I knew that I wasn't going to bring anyone I love into that. And so, yeah, I spent the next 5 days trying to walk because I couldn't. And I knew that in order to get home, I needed to be able to walk. So each morning when I woke up, I would practice and I would get so upset with myself because I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to stay with this guy anymore. I didn't know who I was dealing with anymore. I didn't know if I was going to get out alive, but I was like, if I can just walk, if I can just fake it until I make it, if I can just show him that he's in the clear, like, I know he loves me and I love him, and like, just feed him this story so that I can get out of here alive, like, everything's going to be okay. Going back, when we were back in Austin, my friend had totaled her car. And he offered to let me drive his car, and then I gave her my car. So I still had his car back in Austin. And there was a moment in time where I had the opportunity to give him back his car key or take it with me to Austin when I was able to finally fly home. And I knew in that moment I needed to keep the key so that he knew that I still loved him, that I was going to see him again, all the things. And so I kept the key, knowing that I could have just given it back to him and that could have been that. But I, like, for whatever reason, knew that I needed to keep the key and go home with it. So I went home. I saw him probably 6 months ago. He was in town. And thankfully, I was with another guy. And when I saw him, I just smiled at him because I didn't want to show him that I feared him, because I don't fear him. I don't fear someone who physically abuses women and thinks that that's okay. And I would never fear someone like that, because that is a child that's hurting inside. And I know how much pain he's gone through in his childhood. I know how much trauma he's experienced in his life. And I know that there's a lot of healing and a lot of light that needs to be shown on him. And I pray that he's able to find that and able to come on the other side a better person. But I'm not scared of him. I only wish that he heals from whatever caused him to act out in that way that night.
Wow. It's just so sad and, like, beautiful. Also, obviously, where you've ended up, but still just crazy to have someone that's so sweet and loving, and not that anyone deserves it, but it's just, yeah, crazy how that can happen to literally anyone. And for something so minor, you're just taking care of yourself, which is something that a people pleaser struggles to do anyway. So it's just so interesting how these things unfold. And I'm just so proud of you for your resilience and your strength and your ability to just surrender to that moment and to, yeah, trust in God and what you needed to say in those stories and make it through that. And I'm wondering what the healing process looked like for you after, where you got to this point of, like, okay, I'm still okay and I don't need to fear him.
Yeah, so I'm thankful that I have a pretty logical mind, in the sense that when I got home, I was like, okay, first and foremost, I need to focus on my physical health. Like, I need to physically heal. And that was my first priority. And then after that, it was emotional healing. So therapy, working through that, going to healing retreats, and really unpacking all that was there, reading certain books on how the body keeps score. That one really stands out to me, and that one was pivotal for my healing journey and just getting on the other side and understanding that my body will still hold that. And that was the craziest experience when I saw him 6 months ago. My body reacted to it. And I'm grateful, because probably a month before that, I had ran into a naturopathic doctor at Casa de Luz here in Austin. And she gave me these, well, she didn't give me them. I bought them, these certain elixirs that help regulate your nervous system. And so when I got home from that experience, I immediately just knew that I needed to drink that elixir, journal, and just get those feelings out, because my body still was holding on to that. And obviously, when you're seeing someone who's harmed you, your nervous system is going to go into fight or flight, and it is going to protect yourself, because that person harmed me, and I know that. So coming back to healing, there was a lot of work that was done and is still being done, if I'm honest. It hasn't even been 2 years, but I would say where I'm at now is trusting men in relational dynamics and opening myself up to dating and being vulnerable with someone again, because he never showed me a sign that he was a dangerous person. And I think that's the most wild thing to me, is that someone can mask it so well that it truly is like a night and day difference, like just a flip of the switch and there's a new person here in the room. So I would say those were the main focuses: physically healing, emotionally healing, working through the body, you know, holding on to that trauma and letting go of it, feeling the feelings, talk therapy, opening up to family and friends about it when I felt like it was a good time to do that. It took a while for me to get there, to open up to others about it, but I had to take care of myself first because I knew if I brought that to the light too soon, that I wasn't going to be able to handle their reactions. It wasn't going to be a response. It was going to be a reaction for whoever I told that story to, because everyone in my life is so protective, so loving, so passionate, that I knew how that story was going to unfold. And so I needed to be grounded within myself first and foremost before I could share that with anyone else, because to me, it was less about him and more about me. I just wanted to heal. I wanted to feel better. And I wanted to put that behind me and not live in fear. I never want to live in fear. It's not a good place to live. Way better to live in faith and know that that was a moment in time. That's a part of my testimony. That's a part of my story, but it doesn't define who I am. I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. And I will constantly rise above whatever obstacle comes my way, because God's always made a way for me. And I'm strong. And I know that this too shall pass. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And so I think to anyone listening, to anyone who's been in a similar dynamic or situation, this doesn't define you. It doesn't define your worth. It doesn't define the type of man that you attract. You're more than enough, and you always will be. And I'm sorry that someone has showed you differently. But that doesn't mean that that will continue to be your story moving forward, because it doesn't have to be. And I think that's what I'm unraveling right now, is allowing healthy, masculine men that are great examples, who have great character, who show me who they are through their actions and their words, and those retelling a new story, that I do deserve the best and I will have the best. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's so beautiful to watch your ability to reopen and to regain a new trust. And, you know, it's just that constant faith that you're anchoring into, knowing that this isn't my journey. This isn't my path to continue to have relationships like that. And I'm curious how it shaped you. Like, who is the woman you've become from these past 2 years?
New. I've become new. I've become a whole new version of me. And I think of, you know, a phoenix going through the fire time and time again. And that's definitely what I've done. And I've shed a lot of old skins that served me for moments in time, but don't serve me anymore. And I think who I am now is truly my highest self, because I have shed so many stories that I've told myself. I've just shed so many skins. And the woman I am now is someone I'm proud of. It's someone I love. It's someone I adore. It's someone I cherish. It's someone I take care of. It's someone I protect. And in the past, I couldn't say that. And I think coming full circle and realizing who I see in the mirror now is someone filled with so much light and love and peace. I would say I'm so much more at peace within myself and grounded within myself, because I'm taking care of me, and who I surround myself with is everything. Like, my community, the people I pour into and who are also pouring into me, and That's what I'm most proud of, is who I am today and the person that I get to look in the mirror at. Because yes, I've been through quite a few trials in my life, but that doesn't change who I am for the worse. It changed me for the better, and it helped me find a lot within myself that I think was already there. It just helped brush it off and bring it into the light, into awareness that, oh, I am wise, I am strong, I am more than enough, I am protected. And just knowing that I'm relentless and resilient and can always get to the other side of the mountain.
It's so beautiful. And just watching you shine as you say that is just amazing too. And I really hear your inner masculine is now like locked in and activated. Like, you know, you are within yourself, have got that ability to be there for yourself and, you know, protect yourself in that way and stand up for yourself. And that's so beautiful as well, because we need that. We definitely need both of those to harmonize. And that's also gained with our relationship, I find, with God too, is seeing like, oh, that's how it gets to feel, and that's how I get to be that safety and that love. So beautiful. And I'd love to know too, like, what are some daily prayers that you say or do that really help strengthen who you are and keep your faith?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, but I would say it definitely changes on a day-to-day basis. Like, I'm constantly talking to God. It may be, you know, me just joking in the car with him, or it could be something more serious. I would say intuitively, it's always that God just realigns my steps and leads me to the places that I need to be. I would say that's a constant prayer of mine each day, is like, God, just lead me into the rooms, into the people that I need to meet, the places that I need to show up, because I find that God needs me to be around people to shine his light and his love to those that may not have access or awareness to it. So I'd say that's a constant prayer of mine, is God, just lead me and guide me and use me to show people your love and your light and your laughter. And then I would also say that I'm constantly praying for the people in my life, and that just that there's healing if there needs to be healing, that God's always watching out for their highest good and protecting them, and also leading and guiding them. Another prayer that I pray is to speak through me and to intentionally listen and open my ears to what I need to hear, because sometimes it's less about what we say and more about the fact that we need to listen and to sit with him for a second. And then last, I would say, is just for rest and for peace and the ability to be still and know that there's so much stimulation that we can get in this world, and finding that place of solitude, finding that place of stillness, and truly surrendering and letting go and just letting God lead helps make a huge difference in so many ways. And
pivotal.
It truly is. It's very pivotal to live surrendered and live in solitude.
And all such amazing, beautiful reminders. And it's really that simple. I think sometimes we try to overcomplicate things, and yeah, the listening is such a big one, and the rest, and yeah, it's so nice when you lean into that and feel that and get to, that's really what our feminine essence wants, is to be guided and to be well rested and nourished. And yeah, it's so beautiful. And the question that came up was, how can you tell? Sometimes I find people really struggle with this, is if it's God or not.
That's a really good question. And it's something that I've been testing, in a sense of like, is this God's voice, or is this, you know, my ego, the enemy, whatever you want to call it? I would say it's listening and constantly keeping that communication and finding discernment within intuitively and asking, like, God, is this you? I even asked this today. I said, God, is this you or is this something else? Because this doesn't feel like what you would say. Like, this feels like something else. And I think just keeping that open dialogue with God and letting him speak to you. And as you continue that conversation, as you continue to listen, you'll be able to hone in on when it's from God and when it's not. And I would say to each person, it's going to be different because it's based on your relationship with God, not mine, not yours. Like, it's truly based on that one-to-one dynamic that you have with God. And so it does take time to understand and truly pick up on, oh, is this God's voice or not? But I would say with practice, just like anything, whether you're practicing for a sport or practicing for a music audition or practicing, you know, piano, like with time, you start to pick up, oh, this is the right key that I need to hit, or, oh, this is how I shoot a layup or whatever. Like with practice, you start to build that rhythm, that momentum, that ease of, oh, I know how to do this. Like I'm getting the hang of this. This is nice. This feels good. And I think as you continuously communicate with God, it's the same thing. You start to pick up on, oh, that's your voice. Like that's who you are. Just like talking to a friend, like if you couldn't see them, you could hear their voice because you know who they are from their voice, even if you don't know who they are, you know, you can't see them physically. And I think it's probably the best answer I can give is you'll know when you know, which is not easy, but I think that's a part of faith and being on this journey is like, we aren't physically able to see him. And so intuitively knowing and trusting it's him and also having discernment of, this doesn't sound right. Like, give me clarity. And that's something I pray too is like, if this is true, if this is from God, show me. Like I'll often be like, if this is from God, or if I'm meant to go on this trip, if I'm meant to do this or that, and I'll pick out a specific thing that God needs to show me. And then when I see that, I'm like, oh, that's confirmation. I know this is from God. I know I'm meant to go. And if I don't see it, then I know that's not for me. And that's okay.
Yeah. It's when it is. It's that relationship. It's like a continuous conversation and building that and forming that with anyone, you know, and really... What I've been learning a lot is getting to know his character and like, I'm not being punished. That's like a big one I'm unlearning is like, there's so much conditioning and even how like the churches sometimes portray is like, you feel like you're being punished and, you know, doing things wrong. There's so much shame. And so for me, when things are going wrong, I'm like, why are you punishing me? And so this past, yeah, like 6 months I've really been unraveling that and realizing that that is not his character. And and so it just, yeah, it really does just take time to really get to know him.
Yeah. And I think in those challenging times, you know, we're told that we're all going to have trials and tribulations. We're all going to go through hard times. Like things are never going to be perfect for us. And knowing that sometimes we're called to go through challenging times so that we do build that trust with him and we do lean on him a little harder because we're like, what's going on? Like, why is everything hitting the fan? Like, and you, at least for me, I've learned during those more challenging times, like, it's helped grow my faith and relationship with him because I can't do it on my own. And it's almost a reminder of like, hey, I'm here right beside you. You can lean on me, but are you going to lean on me? Are you going to talk to me about it? Are you going to come to me about, you know, how do I get through this? Or can you take the weight off my shoulders? Can you not pour rain every single day? Like, just being able to come back to him and say, hey, can you ease up a little bit? Like, I've definitely prayed that prayer of like, God, okay, I've had enough. You know, we're tapping out right now. Like, this is too much for old girl. Like, we got to stop. And just having that dialogue, because sometimes he needs to hear it.
Still have power. Like, you still, yeah, that's important. Yay, so beautiful. I think I'll bring in the closing question of the podcast, which is, what is one of your favorite, most romantic moments you've had?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Most romantic moment.
Romantic date.
I would say one of my most romantic memories was when someone that I saw in the Austin airport, we ended up flying both to San Diego, and we ended up flying to Austin on the same flight home. And I was sitting in my chair on the plane, like we were all boarding, and he stopped and he was like, I have to ask your number. Like, I need to know who you are. And he's like holding up the whole entire line behind him. And he got my number, found his seat, did the whole thing. And I ended up messaging him. I was like, hey, there's actually an open seat next to me. Like, you should come sit with me on the flight. Like, we should hang out the whole time. Like, why wouldn't we? Because of course, the woman next to me, her husband didn't come because of whatever reason. I'm like, okay, God, I see you. And he was like, there's no way there's a seat open. Like, you're joking. And I was like, I'll prove it. So I sent him a picture. I was like, see, it's open. Like, you got to come up here. And so he ended up coming to the front and sitting with me, but he left his bags and his seat in the back. And the flight attendants were giving him so much shit. They were like, whoever's bags are in blah, blah, blah aisle, like, can you please like get them? And then when the flight attendant came by, she was like, are you so-and-so? The husband. And he's like, oh no, like I'm blah, blah, blah. And just getting so much shit across the board from the flight attendants, from everyone around. But it was really cool story that happened that I was like, oh, this is like the kind of thing that only happens in movies. And I think that happening in reality was a really fun experience. And we ended up talking the whole flight home for 3 hours, and it didn't go anywhere, but I think it could have. And I'm okay that it didn't, but it was a fun story for sure.
It's so cute and so fun. And you can't make that stuff up sometimes, the synchronicity.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. And would love for you to let people know how they can find you and if there's anything you want to share with them that you're offering.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram or TikTok. My last name is Broad, B-R-O-D, and my first name is Hannah. And then I'm also an author. So if you're interested in learning more about yourself and how to learn how to love yourself and know yourself and feel enough in your own skin and walk confidently and authentically in your truth, my book is called Choose You, But You Choose. And it's available on Amazon. There's the print version, Kindle, and audiobook. And yes, it's narrated by me. And yeah, if there's anything else where I can help you, please let me know. I also have a coaching business, so happy to meet one-on-one if there's something specific that you need assistance with. But super grateful to be on the pod and thankful for the time.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
You made it to the end of the episode, so now it's time for our snuggly heart breath of the day. Place a hand or both hands, if it's safe to do so, over your heart and dig a big breath into your heart center. Open your mouth and let it go. I'm so grateful to have shared this time with you. If you enjoyed this convo, please share with your besties and your fam. And if you're a visual person like me, fly over to YouTube and watch the video. If you want to do a random act of kindness today, please leave a 5-star review so more people in the world can get their hearts snuggled. You're helping tremendously when you do this, so thank you so much. And as a gift for doing so, I'll give you my Soften Your Heart Medi that feels like an exhale and a hug from within. When you leave a review and email me the screenshot to heartsnuggles@alivetoenjoy.com, you can also find the email in the show notes and you'll get the free meditation. Sending you the warmest, comfiest hug and lots of unexpected blessings your way. Remember that every single person just wants to be loved. So how can you be loved today?